sweating, heart-stopping, gut-freezing sense of the original. It was that kind of laugh. Esk turned around slowly. Simon drifted towards her across the sand, with his hands cupped in front of him. His eyes were tight shut.
"Did you really think it would be as easy as that?"
he said, or something said. It didn't sound like Simon's voice, but like dozens of voices speaking at once. "Simon?" she said uncertainly.
"He is of no further use to us," said the thing with Simon's shape. "He has showed us the way, child. Now give us our property."
Esk backed away.
"I don't think it belongs to you," she said, "whoever you are."
The face in front of her opened its eyes. There was nothing there but blackness, not a colour, just holes into some other space.
"We could say that if you gave it to us. We would be merciful. We could say we would let you go from here in your own shape. But there wouldn't really be much point in saying that, would there?"
"I wouldn't believe you," said Esk.
"Well then."
The Simon thing grinned.
"You're only putting off the inevitable," it said.
"Suits me."
"We could take it anyway."
"Take it then. But I don't think you can. You can't take anything unless it's given to you, can you?"
They circled round.
"You'll give it to us," said the Simon thing.
Some of the other things were approaching now, striding back across the desert with horrible jerky movements.
"You'll get tired," it continued. "We can wait. We're very good at waiting."
It made a feint to the left, but Esk swung around to face it.
"That doesn't matter," she said. "I'm only dreaming this, and you can't get hurt in dreams."
The thing paused and looked at her with its empty eyes.
"Have you got a word in your world? I think it's called psychosomatic."
"Never heard of it," snapped Esk.
"It means you can get hurt in your dreams. And what is so interesting is that if you die in your dreams, you stay here. That would be nice."
Esk glanced sideways at the distant mountains, sprawled on the chilly horizon like melted mud pies. There were no trees, not even any rocks, just sand and cold stars and... She felt the movement, rather than heard it, and turned with the pyramid held between her hands like a club. It hit the Simon thing in mid-leap with a satisfying thump. But as soon as it hit the ground, it somersaulted forward and bounced upright with unpleasant ease. But it had heard her gasp and had seen the brief pain in her eyes. It paused.
"Ah, that hurt you, did it not? You don't like to see another one suffer, yes? Not this one, it seems."
It turned and beckoned, and two of the tall things lurched over to it and gripped it firmly by the arms. Its eyes changed, the darkness faded, and then Simon's own eyes looked out of his face. He stared up at the things on either side of him and struggled briefly, but one had several pairs of tentacles wrapped around his wrists, and the other was holding his arms in the world's largest lobster claw. Then he saw Esk, and his eyes fell to the little glass pyramid.
"Run away," he hissed. "Take it away from here. Don't let them get it."
He grimaced as the claw tightened on his arm.
"Is this a trick?" said Esk. "Who are you really?"
"Don't you recognize me?"
he said wretchedly.
"What are you doing in my dream?"
"If this is a dream, then I'd like to wake up, please," said Esk.
"Listen, you must run away now, do you understand? Don't stand there with your mouth open."
"Give it to us,"
said a cold voice inside Esk's head. Esk looked down at the glass pyramid with its unconcerned little world and stared up at Simon, her mouth an O of puzzlement.
"But what is it? Look hard at it."
Esk peered through the glass.